The duo. The duo.
Hello and welcome to episode 80 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps and I am rolling solo this episode. As you know, the past few episodes, my guy Dane Beasley has not been able to join. He is in the process of moving into his new home. So hopefully he'll be able to join us next week, next episode, episode 81. But for now, your boy is rolling solo. Episode 80 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. We want to thank everyone that's gotten us here to this point. Episode 80, man. It's been a journey, over two years since November 2019 that we've been doing this thing, and I can't thank you enough. Dane and I can't thank you enough for the love, the support, the shares, the retweets. It does not go unnoticed. Best believe we understand and we appreciate you taking out the time to listen to us every time we drop an episode. Want to say thank you to all the guests we've had over the past few weeks. Last week, we had the great Vic Lombardi from Altitude TV to talk about the Broncos. Of course, I had to take that opportunity to talk about my Denver Broncos, especially with Dane not here. And so I'll take that opportunity every time. I've been a big, big supporter of Vic Lombardi for a long time. He does great stuff at Altitude TV. Big time guy over there. So check out episode 79 if you haven't already. Of course, episode 78, we had our guy Colin Deaver on, my guy since my days reporting in College Station. Had him on to talk about his experience with March Madness and his time up in Buffalo. He was in Buffalo covering New Mexico State and their run that they had in Buffalo. Of course, episode 76, the great Joe Lunardi joined me. And it was great. So thank you to all the guests that, you know, have joined the duo. And I'm rolling solo on this one. So let's get to it. Thank you to everyone that's been rocking with us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Goes unnoticed, man, like I said before. But, of course, we are in April now. We've experienced March Madness. We've experienced, you know, everything that's going on the hardwood in college basketball, women and men's. It's been a great, great tournament so far. But, you know, we had those Cinderella teams, and we'll get to, of course, St. Peter's, the Peacocks, making an incredible run with their coach, Shaheen Holloway, former coach, now joining his alma mater at Seton Hall. But, man, you know, we had our Cinderella stories, but, you know, we're down to the Final Four. When you hear this episode Saturday, the Final Four for the men's will begin. And it's the Blue Bloods. It's the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament that we will have four teams with multiple championships in the Final Four. We've got Duke and North Carolina. Wow, what a matchup. Rivalry. Coach K going out his final year into his record-setting 13th Final Four, going against Hubert Davis and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Incredible, incredible matchup on that end. And then, of course, on the other side, you have Kansas Jayhawks, Bill Self. You know, Bill and those guys have been here close to being in this spot almost, you know, you can't go long, you know, in the tournament without having a Bill Self Kansas Final Four team. And they'll be taking on Jay Wright and the Villanova Wildcats, which the last decade, Villanova has been dominant. They have been one of the great powers in college basketball. And it's incredible what, you know, these four matchups we have, right? On the Duke, North Carolina side, right? ACC versus ACC. Duke, North Carolina, it doesn't get any better than this. You know, we talked about ESPN has talked about Coach K almost every week, obviously this being his final season. And you couldn't write a better script for the sports networks to gloss over almost every single day, which they have. You have Coach K, you have Hubert Davis. And Hubert Davis, his first season, right? His first season taking over for the great Roy Williams, leading his team to the Final Four. Let's take a look at what, you know, what those guys have done on that end. Incredible run for Hubert Davis. They started out slow to start the season. Took some tough losses early to ranked teams. Purdue, lost to Tennessee. Huge loss to Kentucky back in December. But, you know, it doesn't matter, right? They're in the tournament. They're making a run. big win over, you know, my Baylor Bears in the tournament to head to the Sweet 16, that crazy game that went into overtime, almost giving up that 30-point, you know, game, and heading on, beating UCLA, taking on St. Peter's, led by Shaheen Holloway and those guys, you know, playing the underdog role. But North Carolina, man, I mean, incredible. You know, they were seeded as an 8 seed, but the way they're playing is, you know, their seeding could have been a lot higher. There's been a lot of controversy, talk about, you know, should they have been seeded that way? But, you know, the chips fell where they may, and they took advantage, right? They're currently, you know, they have their 28th win going against Duke. They lost to Duke early in the season, February 5th, at home by 20. And then back in March, the semifinal game of the ACC championship, North Carolina took down Duke. In the regular season finale, North Carolina took down Duke 94-81 in Coach K's last game at Indoor Cameron. So that was a big one. And you know, those guys are going to have that on their mind heading into the game this weekend. On the Duke side, 32-6. Great run for Duke this season. You know, they finished as the ACC regular season champs, a game ahead of North Carolina. And, you know, with Duke, it's all about Coach K, obviously. A lot of talk about his last season here in college basketball, one of the historic college basketball coaches, you know, in history, obviously. And, you know, we joked, Dane and I joked a lot about, you know, the Coach K farewell tour and ESPN glossing over, but it's all jokes. But in seriousness, like, this is one of the great coaches of this era. And you couldn't write a better script for these guys, you know, leading him to the Final Four once again. When I look at this game, right, you got Paolo Banchero, 17 points a game. It's going to be on his shoulders, right? You also have guys, Wendell Moore Jr., that's been helping out during the tournament. He's averaging 13 points a game throughout the season. Mark Williams has stepped up big inside for Duke with 11 and 7. But it's going to come down to the stars of this game, right? Can Banchero get his buckets, right? And then on North Carolina side, you got Armando Bacot, the behemoth down low. Like, that matchup between Mark Williams and, you know, Bacot is going to decide this game, in my opinion. Of course, you got the stars on both sides with Banchero, Griffin. Jeremy Roach has played incredible the last few games, especially in this tournament. And you're going to expect to see, you know, the coaching. It's going to come down to coaching. You've played these guys twice. You know who they are, right? They're in your conference. You see them every week. Not necessarily playing them, but, you know, you see them on film, scouting other teams. You've played them twice. And this is the biggest stage, right? Your stars are going to have to play well. For North Carolina, you have Armando Bacot, but the guy who has stepped up a lot during this tournament, and especially in that Baylor game to kind of put North Carolina on the map, like, as a serious contender, is RJ Davis, right? He dropped 30 on Baylor, and he, you know, Baylor, obviously reigning champions last year, lost a lot of pieces, but they're known for their defense, and RJ Davis could not be covered, right? He's hitting open shots, getting to the bucket, doing what he wants to do. And if he plays lights out, he gives North Carolina a chance to win this game. I expect this game, obviously, ratings-wise, are going to be through the roof. And when these two teams meet on the court, I think Duke stars has more stars. I think Banchero plays, you know, pretty much out of his mind and wills Duke to victory. I mean, I'm not going to go... I just think Banchero is just that guy that's going to be able to get buckets for Duke heading into this one. I think it'll be a close one. I think the storybook season for Coach K and his farewell tour continues, and I think Duke beats North Carolina by 5. I'm going to go 85-80 to head to the championship game. On the other side, we've got Jay Wright and the Villanova Wildcats taking on Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. Man, oh man. Like I said with the other matchup, right? You got the stars. It's going to come down to the stars. Villanova side, you got Colin Gillespie averaging 15 points per game, shooting well. He was injured last year, obviously. They kind of cut Villanova's run short. But, you know, he's playing incredibly well, leading this team down the stretch. And then on Kansas, obviously, Agbaji, right? Big 12 Player of the Year. He's played okay during the tournament. You know, you guys know I'm a Baylor fan, and obviously I follow Big 12 basketball a lot, and Agbaji's not played the way he's played during the year, right? And if he gets going, he can't be stopped. He can get to the spot he wants to get to. He can pull up for the three. He can get to the cup and get to the foul line. And if he's like that, if he's playing like that to start this game, it's going to be tough for Villanova to stop him. On the interior front court, they've got some guys. David McCormick has played okay, but throughout the season, he's been a great player for the Jayhawks. Christian Brown, of course, a guard, 6'6", can get to his spots as well, shoot the open three. And the key to Kansas and to the key what's gotten them to this point in the Final Four. Remy Martin, not to drink. Remy Martin, guard. He's been injured a lot throughout the season. He's coming on strong lately, and he's been that spark that the Jayhawks need, especially with Agbaji not playing like he did earlier in the season. And so he's been a great spark, that 10 points, 11 points off the bench that, you know, the Kansas Jayhawks need at this point. It'll be the fourth time since the early 2000s, right, that these two teams have matched up after the Sweet 16. You know, Bill Self's team won it in 2008. Wright won it in 2016. 2018 matchup in San Antonio when Villanova beat Kansas. And this is going to be another close one. I got Kansas coming out on top because of the guys that I talked about before. Remy Martin, of course, Agbaji. I think he plays incredibly well. I have him dropping 25 in this game. Villanova suffered a tough injury at the end of their last game with Justin Moore heading out. Of course, he's out for the Final Four. That'll be a tough blow for them. It seems like they always have the unlucky bug when it comes to injuries. And so I think that'll play a part. I got Kansas winning this one close. 83-81, which leaves my championship Duke and Kansas. Coach K versus Bill Self. Coach K's last game with Duke. Bill Self trying to go for his second title with the Kansas Jayhawks. And man, I originally in my tournament bracket, I had Kansas winning it all. Even, you know, when we all did our championship picks, our bracket picks, before the brackets busted, my final team to cut down the nets, I had Kansas. And right now, I'm about to do a pivot. I'm about to reverse. I'm about to change it. I got Duke beating Kansas in the championship game. Just because of the storybook ending, is that weird to say? I don't know, but I think Coach K goes out on top, literally, and, you know, wins it against Kansas. Agbaji will play great, but I think Duke stars, the multiple stars that they have on this team, just outplays Kansas towards the end, hitting big buckets, big shots when they need it. And I think Duke comes out on top over Kansas in the championship game, 75-72. So we talked about the Cinderellas during the tournament season. Obviously, the big Cinderella this year was St. Peter's, right? The 15 seed heading all the way to the Elite Eight. Fell short to the North Carolina Tar Heels. But what a run by Shaheen Holloway and the Peacocks. And I just wanted to take a moment to salute this guy because, you know, we have those stories every year about coaches and players and heroes and, you know, the Cinderella story that, you know, steps up and knocks down the Goliath. They beat Purdue. They beat Kentucky. They beat Murray State. And, you know, they had the entire nation, you know, Peacock Nation, right? And Shaheen Holloway, what was very admiring about him is what he instilled in his players, what he instilled in his staff. And this is just an example of one of those things when a reporter asked him about how the mentality of the Peacocks when they went into the game.
With Murray State's physicality, you all kind of kept your cool when they kept trying to muscle in. What was the thing that you told them to really try to stay calm when it seemed like they were trying to push you all around?
No, I'm going to say this. It's going to come off a little crazy. I got guys from New Jersey and New York City. You think we scared of anything? You think we worried about guys trying to muscle us and tough us out? We do that. You know, that's who we are. Like, we are a very physical team. Our bodies probably don't look like it, but these guys play very hard and very physical. So that I wasn't worried about at all. You know, we've been playing against bigger teams out the whole time. So them being a little bigger and stronger, it didn't faze us. When you got tough, hard-nosed kids, they ready to play.
Who would want that as a head coach, right? Like, coach, we're underdogs, we're undersized, we lack the athletic prowess to hang with these juggernauts of, you know, basketball college teams. And this guy comes in like, man, we from Jersey. This is how we do. This is what we do, right? And, you know, it was incredible to see, incredible run. Of course, they got knocked out by North Carolina in the Elite Eight game heading into the Final Four, the winner heading into the Final Four, which is North Carolina. But, you know, after the game, Shaheen Holloway accepted a role with Seton Hall, his alma mater, which, you know, he led to a Sweet 16 back in the day. And so this is another glimpse, another peek to see who Shaheen Holloway is. This is what he did at his presser for Seton Hall.
First, you know, I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for those 15 young men right there. So... Pirate Nation, we could do better than that. Pirate Nation, those 15 young men right there, stand up.
So for my viewers, you can obviously see what's going on. He is at his press conference, and this is for my listeners now. He gives a shout out to his entire St. Peter's team at his press conference for his new team. And so, I mean, of course, you've never seen anything like that. So shout out to Shaheen Holloway going back to his alma mater, Seton Hall, back in the Big East. And Seton Hall is going to be a team to watch, obviously, next season around this time. Shout out to you, Shaheen Holloway. I am recording this April 1st at 11 o'clock. And so the women's Final Four is just finished, or excuse me, we now have two teams advancing to the championship in the women's side of the bracket. And let me say this. These women's games have been incredible, right? Of course, my Baylor Lady Bears went down early to South Dakota, but we've seen so many double-seeded upsets. We see Creighton, we've seen South Dakota, we've seen Ohio State, even though they're not a double-digit seed, but we've seen so many incredible upsets on both sides, or men's side and women's side, what makes this part of the year so great. And the parity is what makes college basketball great, college sports in general, and I just wanted to say that up front. But tonight you had South Carolina defeat Louisville pretty handily. It was close throughout, but the Gamecocks came out on top by a score of 72-59. And then on the other side of the bracket, UConn. Of course, UConn. Geno and those girls are incredible. Once again, they're in the Final Four for the 14th straight time, I believe, and they're heading to the championship game. They beat Stanford 63-58. Man, it was incredible, right? Paige Beckers has those girls rolling. You knew once she got healthy, right, that they would be able, you know, to make a strong run into the tournament. Geno said it himself. that without her, they wouldn't be here. Of course, without him as well, whatever you might want to think about Gino, and we all have our, you know, thoughts about the way he is as a, you know, as a coach, but he has his team there every single season, and they'll be going against the great Dawn Staley and South Carolina Gamecocks. That would be a great matchup on Sunday. I have South Carolina beating UConn in that matchup. Aaliyah Boston has done for South Carolina is incredible tonight. She had another great game, 23 points, 18 boards. She's unstoppable down there. Now, UConn has some great interior players as well, but I think Aaliyah Boston is too much. She's a player of the year. She's proved it every single game of the tournament, and I think she'll do it again on Sunday. I got South Carolina winning that one 65-60. These women's games have been, you know, they haven't been as high scoring as the men's game, so I had that one 65-60. And, of course, I cannot forget about the Duo March Madness Challenge. Yes, the Duo March Madness Challenge. Let's give an update heading into the final weekend of games. Of course, for the men, we had decided that the winner of the Duo ESPN Tournament Challenge will get to come on the Duo podcast and talk about anything they want. And so on the men's side, we have the Big B's number one ranking right now. He has Duke as the champion, which could still happen. Duke is still in it right now. Big B's, JB3, that is Dane's brother, right now sitting at the top spot at number one. Number two, my guy Cornelius Donald sitting at two, but he has the Baylor Bears winning it all. And as we know, my guys got knocked out in the round of 32. And then number three, Leah. Got Villanova cutting down the nets, and that could still happen. So those are our top three right now on the men's side of the bracket. Remember, the winner gets the chance to come on the Duo for an episode and talk about whatever they want. Those are the top three guys, and of course, we'll give an update on our next episode where we'll have our winner. And now on the women's side, the winner gets some Duo exclusive merch. Duo exclusive merch. We have CBB_champs, who has UConn as a champion right now in the number one spot. Number two spot, I believe, is my dad, who has Baylor winning it all. And of course, you know, that did not happen, so he will probably drop down. And then Big Mac 348 has South Carolina winning it all. So it's going to come down to those championship matchups to see who comes out on top and win that Duo merch. Appreciate everyone that tuned in and put in their brackets for the men and women's tournament challenge, Duo March Madness. Appreciate you guys participating, and we'll, of course, update that on the next episode of the Duo. In the NFL, some breaking news this week. Bruce Arians, head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has decided to step down and take a role in the front office, leaving the reins to defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. Now, apparently, they've said that Tom Brady, when he announced his retirement, either that day or the day after, they let him know that Bruce Arians had already made this decision. So they are saying that Tom Brady's decision to return had nothing to do with this decision by Bruce Arians to step into the front office role. And I kind of believe it, because Bruce Arians has always been a guy who's been straightforward, and no need for theatrics in this case, right? I think he's built, and what we've seen Bruce Arians build on that staff is persons of color in his staff, right? You had Todd Bowles on the defense coordinator side. Offense, you got Byron Leftwich, and, you know, they have more positions on staff that had a minority in the role. And from what he had said, in which, you know, they're reporting that, you know, he was setting Todd Bowles up for the best possible scenario when he decided to step down. So when Tom Brady came back, that only elevated it, right? And that's when he said that, you know, it was a sign, hey, Tom's back. You know, a lot of the players from that championship run are back. And, you know, this might be an opportunity to give to Todd, who previously coached with the New York Jets a few years ago, to take over the reins of this team. And, you know, with everything going on with the Rooney Rule changes and minorities in coaching or lack thereof, I salute Bruce Arians on this move, because, you know, he kind of took it into his own hands, you know, and of course with the Glazer family and all they've done in the organization to give a black man a chance, right? And I commend him for that. And, you know, he won a Super Bowl, and I think that was part of, you know, his going out thing. Like, I won a title, right, already. I've done what I set out to do as a coach in these 3 years as a coach for Tampa Bay, so give it to Todd. You know, they elevated another Larry Foote, I believe they elevated to be the new defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, after Todd Bowles took the head coaching position. So shout out to Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay Bucks, making a great move as far as minority coaching has gone. And so right now we've seen 10 coaching changes, which is one short of the league record in one offseason. What an offseason has been. And we will continue to check on those moves as they happen. Now it's time for...
What's that sound?
The Nerdy News segment brought to you by my guy, Keith. Our guy, Keith. Thank you, Keith. Dane is not here to hit that high note. I'm not even going to try to hit that high note. But this is the Nerdy News segment. Moon Knight, Marvel Studios' next show on Disney Plus. Episode 1 dropped this week on Wednesday. And there was a lot of hype going into this show. And I am not necessarily the comic book guy, the comic book reader. I enjoy MCU, the product, as far as film and TV shows have gone thus far. But obviously, I'm not into the comic book allure of it. And so when this show was announced, obviously, I know nothing about the character. My guy, Reggie, who's very into the comics, got me kind of the synopsis of who this character was and why he was important. And I decided that he gave me the opportunity to kind of look at the comics of, you know, who this character was to get an understanding of it, but I didn't want to do that, you know, so I wanted to go in kind of as blind as possible going into the show to not be biased one way or another way against it. But episode 1 of Moon Knight, starring Oscar Isaac as the character that we meet in episode 1, is Stephen Grant. And, so the show opens up with Ethan Hawke's character, right? And he's putting these shards of glass into his shoes at this ritual. And he walks out, and that's the opening credits. And you see Oscar Isaac's character, Stephen Grant, wakes up with his leg chained around the bed. And so, it's very weird at first, I will say that, but it seems as though this show is going to dive a lot into mental health and Egyptian history as well. And, you know, the description from Marvel, you know, describes this character as having dissociative identity disorder. So, yeah, you know, we're going to dive into mental health aspect of it. And you see this character, Stephen Grant, working at this Egyptian art museum in London. And it's a lot of weird stuff going on. There's a lot of not knowing what's real, what's not. So we see him go to work at the Egyptian Art Museum, and his boss gets on him about working and not working. He forgets a date that he had with a tour guide coworker that he didn't even know he had gone on a date with. And so at this point, as you know, as always, you're trying to figure out what's going on. And you realize that there's a voice in his head, and the voice is telling him to give up his body, give up whatever he's going through right now, like just give it up, right? And so this cult-like ceremony for Ethan Hawke's character, where he determines if someone is good or bad, he has his crowd around him offering souls for judgment, and one guy comes up to him. He says, "I want to, you know, find out if I'm good or not." And Ethan Hawke's character takes by the arms, and he's like, "Yeah, you're good." And then an old lady comes up. It's like, I want to be judge. And, you know, she comes up to him. He touches her and she dies. Or before she dies, he said, no, your soul is bad and it could be for something you do in the future. So he touches her and she's gone. She's a goner. And one of these kind of hallucinations, Stephen Grant, you know, kind of wakes up in the Swiss Alps, I believe, and he's being chased by these guys because he has this, what do they call it? A scarab, right? This Egyptian scarab. And they're chasing him and he's chasing him. And then he like blacks out and he wakes up and he has blood on his hands. And the guys that were chasing him are all beat up. And you see a couple of sequences like that where he blacks out, wakes up, and the guys are all dead or damn near bloody. And so you see that over and over, right? And you're trying to figure out what's a dream, what's not. He's trying to figure out what's a dream, what's not. He ends up getting chased. Steven ends up getting chased by Ethan's guys. I won't call them goons, his cult group. And when Arthur follows him to work, he has a following as well at his job. At Steven's job, and he lets him go after kind of touching. He does the touch thing with him and finds out and says, you have chaos in you. And that's when we see Steven walk, run off again. He's chased through the elevator in his apartment. I'm kind of flopping around here. So much that happens in a short time during this episode. He finds a phone in a hidden compartment in his apartment where there's a cell phone and a key, where some girl named Layla calls him and calls him Mark. And so from the comics, I was told that his name was Mark Spector, which is the other side of this personality that we haven't seen yet, that we've only seen through the aftermath of the blackouts. And so towards the very end, he has a face-to-face through the mirror meeting with the other half, which is Mark Spector. And so Mark tells him, you're not going to die. When this monster chases him in the bathroom, you're not going to die. Let me have control. And that's when we see the final blackout episode during this portion where he becomes Moon Knight and defeats the monster at the end. And I know that was kind of me going through, but it's so much that happens in this episode, kind of laying the foundation of this character, this guy with, I wouldn't even say split personalities at this point, because he doesn't know that there's another side of him, I guess. And I'm not a professional expert on that, but I think it's just multiple characters. Maybe I'm saying the same thing, but he doesn't know what's going on. So I guess that's a bad way to put it, but I'm putting in a perspective of him having characters on screen that we've seen, but he's unaware of, if that makes sense. So definitely, you know, a great first episode to kind of feed us a little bit about what's going on here. Obviously, people that have read the comics, obviously people that know who Moon Knight is as a character, what the premise that I was given was the MCU's version of the Batman. And so, you know, that got me excited, because who doesn't love Batman, right? And so episode one, you know, great episode, you know, a lot of action, a lot of storytelling, kind of getting us a glimpse of who this character is, who these characters are, and laying the foundation for the next five episodes. Episode two will come out on next Wednesday, obviously, and we'll talk about that. Dane will be back on the podcast for episode 81, and we'll talk about that. And I'm sure we'll also talk about Morbius. And Morbius is a movie that's been pushed back a lot from Sony. It's finally been released, and, you know, it's not doing well with Rotten Tomatoes right now. It's sitting at a 16% with an audience score of 67%. Starring Jared Leto as Morbius, the Dracula kind of, you know, villain, anti-hero of Marvel. So it's a Sony property, so you're not going to get the MCU tie-ins all the way. But from what I've heard, I don't plan on seeing the movie. Let's say this. And so it's interesting, though, that Sony is calling it the next Marvel Legend, which, you know, I guess you got to do that to kind of push your product. But it's a lot more bad than good on this movie. And so I will say that it's a miss as far as a Sony property. That, you know, they're coming off of the joint property with Spider-Man No Way Home that did so well. And to follow up with Morbius was probably a power move, a money grab per se, but they might end up with more losses than wins in this one. And I'll leave it at that. And you know, this is episode 80. And so I'll close with some shows that you probably should be watching by now, if you haven't already. Atlanta season 3 began last week. So they dropped 2 episodes last week, 1 episode this week. And, you know, I won't go into it, but or should I say, I won't spoil it too much. But Atlanta season 3 picks up where kind of where season 2 left off, but it's more of a gap. You know, they're kind of more successful in this end. Donald Glover had tweeted about how this show will be compared to Sopranos, and you know, I love anything Donald Glover does, from music to movies to shows, and I will leave it at this. Atlanta is something you should be watching if you haven't already. Streaming on FX and Hulu. Snowfall is also a Hulu Netflix product that you should be watching. That season, I believe this is season 5. That's going on right now for Snowfall. Please make sure you check that out. Man, another show that surprised me so much, and the first season just ended this week, is Bel-Air, which is, of course, the I won't even call it a reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, because it's, I mean, you know, it has the same characters, the premise is similar, but it's the drama version of it, obviously. But it's done well, man. Like, I will say that it's emotional on a level that people can relate to. It's set in, you know, this time period, has the same characters as the show, but it's a drama, and it's like real stuff. Like, I know people were kind of scared off from the open or the trailer that dropped not too long ago, but man, I've been fairly surprised with Bel-Air. It's airing on Peacock. The final episode of season 1 just finished airing this week. So please check that out if you can. You will not be disappointed by that. And from my guy, Bomani Jones from ESPN, he has his new show, Game Theory, on HBO Max. Man, when I tell you, man, I hope one day I can get Bomani Jones on the Duo podcast, because his mind is just up there. Someone I respect so much in the sports media industry. And his show Game Theory is on another level. And I talked to Dane about this, and I know we'll talk about it more when he comes back on the podcast, but we compared. I told him, I was like, man, is it crazy that I compare Game Theory as a sports version of the Dave Chappelle Show? And he was like, no, bro, it's just, you know, it's similar to that. Like, I can get where you got that from, because it's funny, but also has those moments like, dang, that's real stuff, you know. And it's airing every Sunday on HBO Max. So please make sure you check that out. Game Theory with Bomani Jones. And yeah, those are the shows you should be watching if you haven't already. And I think I've talked too much for myself right now, but I appreciate each and every one of you guys that took the time out to listen to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Man, Dane and I, it's April, right? And it is draft month for the NFL draft. Usually we have Dane do his previews, you know, for upcoming prospects, and we'll try to get to that, you know, when he gets back on the podcast. But we have some cool things coming with the Duo, man. We're trying to make some moves, trying to do some cool things, and we've got a cool thing coming up at the end of this month. So please stay tuned, check out all our socials for that, to make sure, you know, you're ready, and you know, your friends are ready when you retweet it. Their friends are ready when they retweet it and tell a friend about the duo doing cool things, cool ideas, trying to bring the content to you guys that have been rocking with us since 2019. So I appreciate that so much. Dane appreciates that so much. And episode 80, man. I did this one solo. Hopefully you guys listen to me ramble on about sports and stuff, and I did not disappoint with this episode. I appreciate you for tuning in. Episode 80 of the duo. Make sure you check us out on Apple, on Spotify. My YouTube viewers, our YouTube viewers, thank you so much for watching. We are also on TikTok at Duo SNS Podcast. We are on Twitter at Duo SNS Podcast, Instagram as well. I am at DF's Right Steps. Dane is at Dane BTX. Episode 80, man. What should I name this? I'm thinking solo dope. Nah, I ain't gonna do that. No, episode 80 of the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. I'm out. The Duo.